and presently forgot what manner of man he was. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but in old photos of ball games or sports events, if you look at the way that men in the crowd are dressed, you'll see that most of them are wearing ties, coats, and hats, and are actually dressed rather formally. This I found rather striking because nowadays, that of course is completely changed. Even for what were formerly considered very formal events, the inclination of everyone is to dress actually rather casually. Certainly that's the practice in the modern church when it comes to assisting at Mass on Sunday. This occurred to me a couple of weeks ago when I was covering the part of the canon law course with the seminarians where we talk about a clerical vesture and how priests and seminarians are supposed to dress. And I was reading a little bit about the origin of the cassock and about the mass vestments. These seem very strange to modern man, but their history is really interesting. This actually was the dress of civilized Romans of the upper class who were educated, who were responsible citizens. And what priests and seminarians wear is actually the descendant of the gown and the toga of the Roman upper classes. What happened was this: the barbarians invaded, and the barbarians wore trousers. The lower ranks of Roman society first adopted this manner of dress, and then eventually the upper ranks of Roman society adopted this manner of dress and adopted the barbarian customs as well. The church, the guardian of tradition, retained the old style for her clergy to demonstrate her continuity with the past. The Roman Empire, some students of it tell us, say that it started to decline because of this, because of the barbarian influence from below, a sort of proletariatization, modern sociologists would call it. The customs and the morals of the lowest ranks of society started to move up the social scale. And then things started to fall apart. And this, indeed, I think, is what we are seeing in our own times. Illegitimacy, formerly the preserve of the lower elements in society, has crept up the scale. Living together is, by most people today, considered to be okay. The Romans had their bread in circuses, and we have popular sports to cheer on. The Romans had mindless, immoral, cruel, violent entertainment, and we have reality shows and the general immoral rot of television. The Romans had the barbarian fashions, and we in our own time have the fashions of the lowest elements of society, now worn everywhere, and indeed deemed somewhat stylish. The baggy pants, the origin of that, by the way, that you see with kids and with popular entertainment figures, that actually originates in those who were returning from prison, those who lost weight, and they'd be let out of prison, go home, and wear their old clothes, and because they lost weight in prison, the clothes would hang down, be very baggy on them. And in the lower stratus of society, then being an ex-con was sort of a status symbol, and other kids started to imitate it. And so the Stiles eventually went up the social ladder. What we see is the phenomenon of things drifting downward. Why does that seem to have happened more in our own time? The world and its attitudes are so much different from the world in which my generation grew up, and things changed so very quickly. We are no longer a republic or a democracy. We have become a mass consumer society. There is a corporate elite, the big corporations, that controls it, a political elite that is bought and paid for. Every few years we have the lobbying scandals that we're seeing now in Washington. It's like a cycle. Nothing is ever done. Another part is the cultural elite, the academics, the scientists, the entertainment figures, what we would call the chattering classes. And then finally, there is the media elite that promotes all of these false worldly values. It is the engine that drives it all. And the goal of this elite is to destroy the alternative centers of power in society, because these are regarded as competition. To destroy families and break them down, neighborhoods, local communities, schools, religious bodies, and especially the Catholic Church. Why? To what end? To what purpose? This is done to distract you first, then to control you, then to make you consumers who are sources of profit to those who control society. So where there is this leveling, this bringing down of hierarchies and the attempt to make all values equal. And on a larger scale, we have the phenomenon of globalization. Large organizations, large structures, where a few people pull the levers of power. One sees that more and more developing, especially in Europe with the European Union. And the media is what drives it all. We see this phenomenon most recently in the Da Vinci Code and the controversy that arose over that. This is a typical example of the garbage of popular culture. That something that appeals to the lowest common denominator, it seeks to level everything, to destroy the credibility of an alternate center of power, that is to say, religion, because the elites would prefer to control you and to feed you what you're supposed to believe. The difficulty and the appeal and the danger of the media culture, something like these movies, is the sensory appeal, the visual stimuli, and one's susceptibility to it. Those in communications, especially in the movies, speak of a layering effect, light and sound, and stimulation of the senses to get the message across. What does all this have to do with the practice of the Catholic faith? Why am I speaking about this today? It is to warn you to become aware of the influence of modern culture, and especially the culture of the media. You have to have an utter suspicion a cynicism, one could almost say, but a good sort of cynicism toward what secular society promotes as values. In order to do that, to become aware of the influence of the spirit of the world, you have to look into the mirror. The epistle today says the following. He shall be compared to a man beholding his own countenance in a glass, that is to say, in a mirror. For he beheld himself and went his way, and presently forgot what manner of man he was. And because we're so susceptible to the sensory appeal, the stimulation of the media culture, we become fascinated by it. And we forget really what manner of men we are. So you have to look in the mirror. Self-examination. Self-examination. The philosopher Aristotle says that the unexamined life is not worth living. And a good Christian life is impossible for someone who does not examine his own life, his own habits, his own mindset, his own attitudes. So you look in the mirror and you look at yourself and then you reject mass culture. It is, I suppose, easy to select a movie, to choose to rent a particular movie or a video, to select this one, to reject the other one. But the problem that many people have is still the problem of television and the mass culture of television. It will affect you. And it will affect your children. You have to learn to reject the values it presents and to turn it off. Perhaps you have heard me say this before, that we have to become counter-cultural. The counterculture, when I was growing up in the 1960s, was the movement to reject stability and to reject the established values of a stable society. Now those people have taken over. Those people who've rejected those stable values have taken over. And so it is our obligation to fight against their culture in our own lives. You have to judge everything in terms of your religion, your Catholic faith. That has to be the prism through which you see the world. Not through TV, but through the prism of Christ, what he teaches. That's a tall order. The only way to do it is through self-examination, through toughness, and through holiness. And in so doing, you will follow the exhortation of today's epistle to keep oneself unspotted from the world. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.